before, and I like that one verse where it says, when I find myself standing in the sun. And I don't believe it's talking about the S-U-N. I believe it's talking about the S-O-N. Yeah. And you know what? When you find yourself standing in the sun, the S-O-N, there's no greater place you could stand than that. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, bless the name of the Lord. The title to my sermon today is Just Enough, Never Too Little. Okay? I'm going to try to tell you a joke here, if I can find the right one here. I've got some written down here. Say, where's that? Oh, I'm going to tell you the joke about the Christian horse. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. We give you all praise, all glory, all honor. We lift and magnify you because you alone are worthy of it all. Thank you for what you're going to do here. Thank you for your words. They are truly spirit and life. And I thank you even for this little funny joke. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was this guy who had been lost walking in the desert for about 2 weeks. One hot day, he sees the home of a missionary. Tired and weak, he crawls up to the house and collapses on the doorstep. The missionary finds him and nurses him back to health. Feeling better, the man asked the missionary for directions to the nearest town. On his way out the back door, he sees this horse. And he goes back into the house and asks the missionary, could I borrow your horse and give it back when I reach the town? The missionary says, sure, but there's a special thing about this horse. You have to say thank God to make it go and amen to make it stop. Not paying much attention, the man said, sure, okay. So he gets on the horse and says, thank God, and the horse starts walking. Then he says, thank God, and the horse starts trotting. Feeling really brave, the man says, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. And the horse takes off. Pretty soon, he's coming up toward this cliff. And he's saying, whoa, trying to get the horse to stop, and it won't stop. And finally, he remembers that he's supposed to say, amen. And the horse stops, and he's 4 inches away from the cliff. And he leans back, and he says, thank God. Oh, well. It does. Yep. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, the title to the sermon today is Just Enough as Never Too Little. You know, in my lifetime so far, I'm getting older all the time, but, you know, I've found out that whatever God asks you to do or whenever He asks you to do something, even though you feel insecure, you know that there's probably someone better that could do it better than you. And usually there is somebody that can do it better than me. But there's, you think, well, praise God. Maybe I don't have enough, you know. But I want you to know that whatever you have, when God asks you to do something, it's never too little. as long as you keep your eyes on yourself and realize that you're little. You know, I think I told you guys a while back about Saul. You know, he was one of the kings of Israel before David. And, you know, when Saul was anointed the king of Israel, and I talked to you a little bit about David last week and Goliath, and I told you that Saul should have been the one to go out and fight Goliath according to the natural, because he was head and shoulders above, taller than anybody else in the kingdom. So, I mean, everybody else came to about here on him. He was the big guy. So he didn't want to go out and fight the giant, so he was kind of hiding up in his tent, you know. Well, we know David, being the brash little boy that he was and having a lot of faith. And, you know, sometimes unless you have the faith like a child, you can't get much done in God. And, you know, years ago, I remember Brother Eddie telling a story about that. You know, Brother Eddie had a healing ministry, and any that didn't know Brother Eddie, the picture of him's hanging out in the hallway out there. But Brother Eddie had a healing ministry, and God would honor a lot of times when Brother Eddie prayed for you, got healed, you know. And he had a radio ministry. We was on the radio, and I think the first time I ever heard Brother Eddie, I was at home, and my mother was listening to his broadcast on the radio. And anyway, you know, Brother Eddie, this was on a Sunday night, and he was talking about the ministry that God had given him over the years and different things. And he said, you know, he said, I had times when I prayed for people that were in a wheelchair. And he said, and I went over and pulled them out of that wheelchair. He said, but I also sometimes had to put them back in the wheelchair. And when he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was sitting out in the audience, and I was still a pretty young Christian at that point. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and gave me the answer. And he said, you know, I never did quite understand what happened there. I believe that's the way he put it. And I raised my hand, and I was pretty backward back then. I didn't want to be in front of people, didn't want to do anything, you know, because I had told you guys I had epilepsy when I was a kid from the time I was 9 till I was 12. God healed me of that, and, you know, and so on and so forth. I won't go into that whole testimony there. But anyway, I didn't like to get up in front of people. I didn't like to get in large crowds. I didn't even like to go in restaurants back then because I felt extremely uncomfortable because I would, you know, I would, that having had a seizure in public different times in earlier years, it made me very uncomfortable about going in places like that. I don't have that problem anymore. The Lord took that fear away from me. I've shared that testimony with you before. But anyway, when Brother Eddie said that, I raised my hand and I said, well, Brother Eddie, I said, I feel like the Lord said, we're moving into a day where we've all tried to move in childlike faith. And I said, childlike faith is wonderful, because when your kids are little, they think you can do anything. They think you're the greatest thing going. And I remember when I used to come home when they was real little, they'd run and to the door, and Daddy's home. They'd be hollering, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. And a lot of times, if I had any money, which I didn't have a lot of money back then, if I had enough money, I'd bring them a candy bar or some M&Ms or something out of the machine from work sometimes, you know. And it was exciting. But then when they were a little older and I came in, it was like they'd look at me and say, huh, he's here, you know. That's what I felt like anyway, you know. But you know, childlike faith believes anything. And Jesus said, except you become a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. And he also said, you can't even see the kingdom unless you become as a little child. And you know, what the Lord spoke to me was, the day is coming, and he spoke to me back then about this, and I think the day is already here, to be honest with you. And I think the day was even there then, if you'd hear his voice. But what he spoke to me, and he said, in times past, you've walked in childlike faith, but you didn't use manlike wisdom. And the difference between childlike faith and manlike wisdom is trying to make God's word work instead of working with God's word. The difference there is when God tells you to do something and you do it, then where does the responsibility lie? On God, not on you. But when you try to make God's word work, where does the responsibility lie? It lands on you because you're trying to, and don't get me wrong, there's times when God will give you his word, a word, and you will have to keep professing that word over and over and over until something comes to pass. We were talking about the scripture in Matthew back in Sunday school about knock, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I love the way it says it in the Amplified Bible. It says, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking, you know, basically is what it says. I might have got a little bit out of order there, but anyway. It's A-S-K anyway. But those letters, the first letter of that is spells ask again, A-S-K. You know, so when we realize that there is times when God wants you to keep on claiming his word. And I had said that, you know, when I did have that epilepsy, when the Lord spoke to my mother about it, you know, she was back in the back room praying, and she told me, if I know the voice of the Lord, son, you'll never have another seizure, you know. Well, God didn't speak that to me. He spoke it to her. But she gave me some scriptures to quote, and I'd quote two scriptures. I'd quote 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, when I felt like I was going to have a seizure. And I also would say, devil, you're a liar. And we know Satan is the father of all lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you, and he wants to make you feel like that you're less than what God says you are. And you know, sometimes we have to stand in faith and resist that, you know. And like I said, little kids, when they're little, that they believe my dad can beat up everybody's dad on the block. He's the fastest. He can throw farther. He can do this. He can do that. Usually. I don't know if my kids felt that way. They've never told me that. And my father died when I was 4, so I can't say that about my father. But I know that my mother was like a father and a mother. You know, she was both. But anyway, when Brother Eddie said that, that's what the Lord spoke to me. And he basically was, I believe he was telling me, son, the day's coming when not only will you move it with childlike faith, which you will believe anything. There will be nothing. There will be no limitations on what you believe. But you're going to move in manlike wisdom. And manlike wisdom is only moving when he tells you to move. And you won't have to set anybody back down in a wheelchair. You won't have to walk away and have them say, well, I really wasn't healed, you know. We had a sister who came to church here for a while, and she made a statement one time about that whenever she prayed for anybody, they always got healed. And when she said that, I thought, oh, I don't think I'd say that, sis. If you pray for somebody when God's telling you to pray for them, they will be healed. And sometimes when we pray for somebody's bodily healing, you know, that isn't the healing they really need. You know, I remember one time, we've talked about this before with Clyde a few different times. I remember one time, one of Debbie's relatives, you know, it was a man, and he came up for prayer. And when he came up for prayer, I felt, the elders came up and they was gathering around him, going to pray for him. And I felt like he had cancer, And he was sick. He was very sick. But I felt like the Lord was telling me to pray for his salvation, And I started praying for him, for his salvation. And I had one of the elders actually step over and say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's not what he needs. He needs healing of his body." And he spoke up and he said, "That's exactly what I need. Not healing of his body, but to give his life to the Lord." And he said, "That's what I came up here for." And sometimes even your brothers and your sisters in the Lord are not always on the same page as what God's doing. Because we would have loved to see him be healed physically. But I'm going to tell you what, that day he walked out of the church, he was healed spiritually. And it wasn't too much longer after that he went to be with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, there was no doubt in my mind that he went to be with the Lord. I had no, I just wish that brother had made a commitment, how people get sometimes. No, he got exactly what he came up there to get. That was a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we don't realize we want to tell God how to do his business. And I got news for you. You don't need to tell God how to do his business. What you need to do is say, "Lord, I don't know what you want in this particular situation, but if you want me to pray for somebody, I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to leave it in your hands, because that's where it belongs anyway." And I'm not saying that God can't do miraculous things, and he does. And I believe we're in a day and an age where things like that are going to begin to happen in a greater way, but it's going to be not a partial thing. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And right now we operate in a part realm where we don't always know everything. I had a laugh one time. I read this testimony, and this young, I think I've told you this before, this younger guy, he was just a little bit more than a boy. He was maybe a teenager or something. And the Lord gave him a strong prophetic ministry. Where he was calling people out, but he was telling them all kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And sometimes God uses some of us in a prophetic ministry like that. But he was really precise and pretty much right on when he gave a prophetic word. And they said that there was people hiding under the piano and all kind of stuff because they were afraid that he was going to out them. He was going to say something. But God's not going to do that to you. He that's not the way God works. Now, some mean minister might do that, say something if he thinks he knows something. But that's not God. He's a God of love. He's a God of restoration. And I had to laugh when I read that. And there also was a thing going around at that time, and there was a big move of God, and I think Mike was going to it, the Promise Keepers or whatever it was. Wasn't that what it was, Mike? Where they had them in stadiums and everything, to where that in the last times or the fullness of time, God was going to bring people together, and there was going to be just massive moves of God, and that it would be with a faceless people. And you know what the faceless people means? That means you don't see that personality. You see God. And that's who needs to be seen anytime that we're ministering in the word of the Lord. We was down at the mission one time, and Buzzy had went to the mission with us. And I was speaking that night, and one of Buzzy's friends from work had come down there. He didn't come up on the platform with us or anything, but he was there, He came, I guess Buzzy had told him about we go down there and stuff. And, You know, when I got up to speak, the Lord, I felt a strong anointing on me when I was speaking. And I shared the word. And later on, Buzzy told me, he said, Oscar, he says, that guy told me, he says, that when you was up there speaking, it was just like Jesus was standing up there speaking. And I thought, praise God, you know. That's who it should be, standing up speaking every time. It should be Jesus, you know, the Spirit of God. And, you know, we're going to come to a place to where there's going to have to be faceless ministries. There's going to have to be ministries to where there's not no big I and little you. And, you know, I had a brother who used to come here, he had a prophetic ministry. And when I was real young, the Lord used him at times to minister to me a word of prophecy and stuff. And when he got older, I felt like he kind of got on the wrong path a little bit, you know. And he was talking to me one time, and he's telling me, he says, you know, he says, I had some of the big prophets prophesy over me that I was this and I was that. And when he was saying it, I thought, there is no biggie prophets. There is no biggie anybody but Jesus. I thought, any of us, we're basically nothing in the sense that any life or anything that we say that's going to minister to anybody or that's any good, it's all God. It's not us. If it's us, it ain't going to be no good. It ain't going to help you one bit. But, you know, so many times we just feel like at times that, you know, that we feel like we're too little. We don't have enough. You know, we just don't have enough. And you'll convince yourself of that sometimes, even when God's trying to move through you. And I'm going to get into my scripture now. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And I don't care how young you are, how old you are, I don't care anything about any of that. If God calls you, he knew all of you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. He knew us all. And in the Psalms, it talks about he knew us as we were being knit together in our mother's womb. And I'm going to tell you, he don't make no mistakes. And whatever situation you're in or whatever you're doing now, he knew exactly where you'd be and when you'd be there and how you'd be doing and what you'd be doing there. Okay? He's a sovereign God. And then the Lord said unto him, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And I got news for you. That goes for everybody sitting in here. As the Holy Spirit moves you and begins to speak through you at times, go and say exactly what God wanted you to say, and only that. Only that. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And let me tell you what, that time I told you that I felt like I was supposed to come up there and pray for that brother's salvation. And I had one of the elders, which I thought very, very highly of, you know, say, well, that isn't what he came up here for. And I mean, I had not been an elder very long in the church, you know, and I could have thought, oh my God, maybe I miss God. But you know what? I knew the Lord spoke that to my heart, that that's what I was supposed to do. And don't let other people hinder you from doing what God has told you to do. Go and do it. And sometimes I told you last week, sometimes it's going to seem foolish. How foolish do you think it looked when David went in to Saul? David, a little boy, he was probably maybe 13, 14 years old, he might even been younger than that, goes into Saul and says, that uncircumcised Philistine out there, I'll go out and fight him. And if Saul wasn't such a coward, I'm just laying it out there, if he'd have said, no, no, son, I'll put my armor on and I'll go out and fight him. What's he do? He says, oh, okay, let me put this armor on you. He puts all that armor on him, and David couldn't even move. That tells you he wasn't very big. I mean, he put his helmet on him. He put his mail of protection, you know, all that brass or whatever it is, put all of his armor on him, and David couldn't even move. So he says, no, he says, I don't need this. He said, I've got a stick and a sling. And you know what? A stick and a sling, that ain't much. But I tell you what, it's just enough. It's exactly enough. And he, like I told you last week, he picked up them five smooth round stones out of the brook, and he went down there. And he said, "What do you do? You send a little boy out after me and with a stick, like you think I'm a dog or whatever, you know?" And you know what? David never wavered. That doesn't mean that there wasn't a part inside of David that had a little bit of fear, because there probably was. But I tell you what, he was doing what he felt like the Lord was telling him to do. And he said, I come to you in the name of the living God, you know. And he took that stone and he swung that thing around and he hit that giant right between the eyes. And then he took the giant's sword and cut off his head. And you know, a lot of times, sword talks about the word, you know, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper in New Testament, says sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between joint and marrow and soul and spirit. And you know what? He took Goliath's own words and took him down with them. And not only that, but I'm going to tell you something else. Goliath's name, his name, if you kind of trace it out in the Old Testament, it meant to denude, to shamefully expose. And all of the giants in your life are always going to try to show the nakedness of you. They're going to try to make you feel, you know, most people, there ain't too many people that are so proud of their bodies that they want to go around naked in front of people. Most of the time, the first thing you do is start covering up things you don't want people to see. and I tell you, unless you're some model or some magnificent bodybuilder or something like that, you don't want to parade around naked, you know. And I tell you what, Goliath was trying to show the nakedness of the people of God. But he didn't realize that David was clothed with an armor that was so much greater than what Saul had. That armor was the presence of God. And buddy, he brought that thing down and he killed it. Praise God. But I just want you to know that not only that, but here's what he said. Here's what he said. Now, this is still a young man. He's still a kid. Jeremiah is. And he said, and I say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, wheresoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And I'm going to tell you what, when you speak his words, they never return void. They always accomplish what they've been sent forth to be. And he says here, it says, see, I have this day even set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. And why did he do that? Why is he doing all that? So that he can build and he can plant. And you know, if you go in a bad neighborhood where the houses are kind of abandoned and the windows have been broke out and they're all nasty and terrible looking and all that stuff, and you look at that place, what do you want to do? You want to either rehab it or you want to tear it down. And if you're a builder and you want to build some real nice house there, you know what you're going to do? You're going to tear it down. But you don't tear it down just to tear it down. You tear it down with the vision of what you're going to make it be in the future. And that's the way God is in all situations. If he starts tearing things down in your life, he's not tearing it down to punish you. He's not tearing it down to make you feel bad. He's tearing it down so that he can build it up with something new and something exciting and something powerful. And that something new and that something exciting and powerful is his presence in your life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know if I should share the rest of these scriptures with you or not. I've got a few minutes here, so I can go ahead a little further. And it says here, this is Chronicles chapter 26, 3 through 21. And I don't know, I'm not going to necessarily read you all of this, but I don't know where I'm going to stop, to be honest with you. And this is talking about a king in Israel. And it says 16 years old was Uzziah. And he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jeshaliah of Jerusalem. And it says, Sam, I didn't blow my print up today, so I'm having a little hard time reading this. I blow it up usually time to make it big. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. And Zechariah was one who had understanding in visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Okay, and I'm just going to paraphrase and tell you the rest of it because I don't want to read all that. It's hard enough for me to read it. I got it too small. But anyway, what happened there is all of a sudden he started building up things of war. He got shields, he got swords, he got spears, he got people that were really smart to build engines that could throw rocks and throw stuff if they got into battles and all this stuff. And they went out and had battles against the Philistines. And the Philistines were where Goliath came from, you know. And they had many victories and all this and that. And, you know, when he was having all these victories and everything, he began to get a little stronger. He started getting stronger. And Scripture says this. It says that for he was marvelously helped. And I tell you, when the word uses stuff like marvelously, man, that's big. I mean, that means a lot. He was marvelously helped. And then there's a pause there. Until he was strong. Let me tell you what. Never glory in your strength. Never glory in your strength, because God will take it away from you if you do. You got to glory in the Lord. You got to glory in his strength. And I just want to tell you, so Uzziah got really puffed up, and he's thinking he's this big whatchamacallit or whatever. And the name Uzziah literally means strength of God. Strength of God. And had he kept fulfilling his name and relying on the strength of God, his kingdom would have kept going, and he would have continued to be marvelously helped. But what happened was, all of a sudden he gets all puffed up and he decides that he's going to go into the temple and he's going to offer incense unto the Lord. Well, according to the Old Testament, only the priests could offer incense unto the Lord. And they tried to withstand him, to stop him, and he wouldn't have it. He was the king, after all. He could have had them all killed or anything else. So what's he do? He goes and he picks up the censer with, you know, the censer with the stuff that you're going to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, you know, burnt offering. And when he withstood them, while he had the censer in his hand, he was stricken with leprosy in his forehead. And, I mean, he became leprous, you know. And in those days, there was nothing they could do for leprosy. Today, there's actually medicine that they can give you that will stop leprosy. But back then, there was nothing. And he had to go and stay in a house away from everybody else. If a leper was walking down the street, he had to holler out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," as he walked down the street, so that everybody could move out of the way and get away from him, you know. So here was this young man who God used marvelously as long as he sought the counsel of the prophets and his mother and so on and so forth. And he was doing wonderfully, was marvelously helped until he became strong. One more scripture I'm going to give you here. Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, same guy, I also saw the Lord sitting high upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above him the seraphims, each one had six wings, and with twain he did cover his face, and with twain he did cover his feet, and with twain he did fly. So this seraphim had six wings. And it says, with twain he did cover his face, with twain he did cover his feet, and with the other two he flew. And the seraphim was crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Of the whole earth is full of his glory." And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King." And the Lord of hosts then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." And you know, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what I just read you there. The seraphim, I looked up seraphim and I thought, oh my gosh, this is some really angelic being. This thing is going to be just marvelous when I check into it and really check it out. Years ago. And you know what the name seraphim meant? It meant a winged, fiery serpent. A winged fiery serpent. Now think about this. How did he see the serpent? The face was covered, the feet were covered, and he flew with the other two wings. Now I want you to know that the serpent in your life, the carnal nature, the carnal man, when you can no longer see the face of that thing, and you can no longer see the walk of that thing, then the glory of God can move in that situation. And a lot of people will fight you over this. They'll tell you, "Oh, that was some angelic being." But that when you look up the meaning of those names, it's not really so angelic. But I just want you to know, in each one of our lives, so to speak, we have that serpent nature at times. that nature of the carnal man. That's enmity against God. It's that old Adam nature is what it mounts out to. And what I believe God was saying there, he said, he was speaking to this prophet, he said, when you can no longer see the face of that thing or the walk of that thing, and the coals are taken off of the fire and touched to your lips, then your iniquity is totally clean. And he said, remember what happened with Jesus when he said, when you lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the what? The Son of Man be lifted up. And what was that thing about the serpent in the wilderness? You remember the story? They were grumbling and complaining, and what did God do? He sent fiery serpents among them. And they were getting bit. and they were going to die. They were getting poisoned. They were going to die. And he told Moses, he said, go and make a brass serpent, and hang it upon a pole. And anybody that looks upon that brass serpent, they'll live. You know, they won't die. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus took the place of the brass serpent. He took the place of the serpent's face up there not being seen, of the serpent's walk not being seen, and he took coals off of the altar. You know, there's a scripture that says, do good unto them which despitefully use you, and in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. And if I've heard Christian preachers say it once, I've probably heard it at least five times. I was going to say 100 times, but I don't get too exaggerating. I've probably heard it at least five times where they would say, boy, your enemies, if you pray for them, God's going to really burn them up with them coals of fire. You know, it's going to be like hell. You know, they'll really be burned up. You know what? The coals that come off of the altar are cleansing coals. Just like when they touched his lips, all of a sudden his whole voice, his whole expression, everything was changed. And I got news for you. A lot of things that talk about fire in the scriptures, it's not bad. They want you to think it's bad, a lot of the religious folks out there, but it's not bad. Remember what happened with John the Baptist when he was told about Jesus? He said he was not worthy to loose down and loose the sandals off of his feet. And he said, and he will baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I don't know about you, but if the fire is going to destroy you, I don't want to be baptized in fire, but it won't destroy you. It will burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in your life that only the precious can remain, and that precious is the presence of God, His anointing, His life, the gold, the precious. And you know what? We need to start understanding what the Word really says. Not what the traditions of the elders have said it says, because they have tried to interpret it. We were talking about that back in Sunday school. They have tried to interpret it with the natural mind. And I'm going to tell you what, if you interpret the things of God with the natural mind, you're going to miss it because it's spiritual. And unless He gives you eyes to see what it really means, and a lot of these things, it will mean something entirely different than what you've been told all your life by grandma and grandma's preacher and grandma's preacher and so on and so forth down the line. You know, people used to sing that song, give me that old time religion. You know, I don't want the old time religion. I want what God has for today. I don't want to go back into the old things. I want to move forward. Remember what happened to Lot when he was called out of Sodom. And what was he told to do? Move forward. Don't look back. You know, and what happened with Lot's wife? She looked back. And what happened to her? She was what? Turned into what? Pillar of salt. That's not even always bad, because salt's good. But yet, it was a place of obedience. She had to be made salt. You know, what does Scripture talk about salt? It says, if salt has lost its saltiness, what's it useful for? Nothing. Be thrown out and trod underfoot. But I'm going to tell you what, every time I get a nice piece of food or potato or something, guess what I want to do? Dump a little salt on it, dump a little pepper on it, so it makes it taste better. And Scripture, and what did Jesus call us? He said, you're the salt of the world. But if salt's lost its savor, then it's not worth anything. So, folks, let's pray and ask God, God, give us understanding. Help us to begin to see what your word really says. Not just what we've been told for the last couple thousand years, you know, since Jesus went away. But he really didn't go away. He just stepped into the realm of the Spirit, you know. And but anyway, why did he say? He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. You know why? Because he dwells right inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Quit putting him out over the moon somewhere or the stars out there. They keep sending them telescopes out, looking out farther and farther, and they ain't finding heaven out there that they've been looking for, or whatever they're looking for out there. But they're finding out how magnificent God's creation is. It's so beyond even what they even imagined it was. You know, there's other galaxies, other stars. There's just millions and millions and trillions of these things out there. And they're just scratching the surface. Do you think God created all that stuff for no reason? We're supposed to rule and reign with him. And guess what? I don't know that we might rule and reign in some of them galaxies out there or whatever. Who knows? I don't know what God's going to do. But I tell you what, he knows exactly what he's going to do. Well, anyway, that's pretty much all I had to share with you today. And I was thinking about Linda and Stan, because we was over there last night at their house. And I shared a portion of this message one time years ago. And when they touched the coals to his mouth, he said, send thou me, Lord. And I remember Linda wrote a song right after that. Send thou me, Lord, send thou me. I want to see your glory, send thou me. And she told about all the different different prophets and the old things in this song, you know. And it was a really good song. I wish we had the words to it. We might have it somewhere here. But it was a great song, but she got inspired to write that song. And you know what? Scripture says, how can they preach unless they're what? Sent. And I'm going to tell you what, if God hasn't sent you, don't go. If he's sent you, go. When he sends you to your neighbor, when he sends you to the lady in the grocery store, when he sends you to one of your friends or to one of your family members or whatever, do what he tells you to do. But only go as far as he tells you to go. Because you take one step further and guess what? You messed it up. You lost them. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. God bless you all. And if you all will stand, we will close in a word of prayer. And just remember this. If you ride the horse, make sure that you say the right thing. You don't want to go off the cliff. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I just praise you today because you're so worthy of all praise, all honor, and all glory. I ask you, Father, that whoever hears this word out there on the internet, let it minister to their hearts and let them begin to seek after you, Father, and ask for even that experience of your coals off of the altar touching their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.